Today is Friday, May 27, 2016. Good morning. Welcome back for the first special session of the 29th Legislative Legislature that Health Resources Committee was convened at, what time is it? 11:06 a.m. We were adjourned by 12:30 p.m. today. President Representative Johnson, Representative Josephson, Representative Heron, Representative Tarr, Representative Seaton, Representative Chenault, and Representative Hawker is excused. Representative Kurt Olson is also excused. My fellow co-chair, Representative David Tallarico, and myself, Representative Benny Noel. Today we'll hear a presentation from the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, ADA, on Hospital 246, ADA Fund Loan Programs Dividends. We'll cover the sectional analysis, fiscal note, and potential issues in the bill, and ADA's proposed solutions to those issues. Welcome, Deputy Commissioner Fred Perry, former Senator and Representative Mr. Gene Thoreau, Mr. John Springsteen.
He's on the phone.
He's on the phone. Thank you. Say hi to Bruce for me, please. And Mr. Michael Lamb, Chief Financial Officer, welcome you all. For any other folks on the phone, please introduce yourselves.
Mr. Chairman.
This is John Springsteen. Thanks for allowing me to
attend. Anybody else? Thank you. And ADA folks, please come forward and identify yourself for the record and to begin.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Fred Perdy. I'm Deputy Commissioner in the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, and also represent the Commissioner on the Board as his designee.
And Mr. Chairman, Gene Terrio, staff to ADA.
Mr. Chairman, if we can move right into this slide presentation on slide two. I'm going to have a little bit of fun here. I'm going to move through this PowerPoint with alacrity, which my first grader, I asked her what alacrity means, and she says, Daddy, that means chop, chop, hurry up. So as you have seen it before, I think we will move quickly through it, but of course we'll entertain any questions as we go along. So to begin with the refresh on slide page two, this is a picture of ADA's current tool belt. And what we're bringing before you in this bill is the opportunity to build out ADA's toolkit on behalf of the 735,000 shareholders that are the citizens of Alaska. We have our board, the Commissioner of Revenue, and the Commissioner of DCCED serve on it, along with five successful business people appointed by the governor. We have our staff. We have three funds that are currently set up. Our Economic Enterprise and Development Accounts, our Energy Infrastructure Fund, our Arctic Infrastructure Fund, and then we have appropriated projects, which are tasks that have been handed to us by the legislature. They include the IEP and the Ambler Mining District Industrial Access Project. Moving to slide three, this is simply a snapshot from our dashboard that we monitor as a board as to our geographic project diversity across the state. You'll notice that big purple chunk in northern, that's the Ambler Road, and you'll notice our distribution across the rest of the state. So we try to keep in mind our duty to serve the entire breadth and width of the state. The next slide, four, is our industry diversification, and this is actually the source of the bill that's before you. This is as of last fall, the total existing and approved projects and loans as of 10/31/15. But you'll note, I want to call out the red and the gray bar. Oil and oil and gas support represent 14% or $110 million of ADA's financing. And so we, as a board, are concerned that we are becoming concentrated in that area of finance. And of course, the oil and gas sector is capital intensive. I do note the mining sector at 20% is our largest, but that's also perhaps our longest standing investment. Again, that's the Ambler Road, and it's been in place for 20 plus years, for decades, and is a stable long-term investment with a stable long-term return. Turning to page 5, this is the picture of the bill that's before you. Basically, we want to add in this proposed legislation Fund 4, which is an oil and gas infrastructure development fund. Turning to page 5, or page 6, excuse me, the intent of that fund is to continue infrastructure financing by allowing us to have a dedicated fund so that our portfolio does not become unduly weighted to oil and gas. Its intention is to support small and medium-sized oil and gas developers statewide to increase production, bring new fields online, attract new investment, increase future revenues, and support investment for energy security. Page 7, and we'll go deeper in this when we get to the sectional, but the infrastructure is defined as investment, which can be acquisition, construction, or installation, including engineering, and projects themselves, roads, pads, camps, processing facilities, gathering systems, or other site improvement for equipment. It's worth noting, Mr. Chairman, that this bill is focused on above-ground investment. It is not focused on below-ground facilities. Projects must support fields that have proven reserves. This is a vital safeguard that's in this bill. Proven reserves are defined by an analysis of geological and engineering data, that they be commercially recoverable under current economic conditions. Please note, current economic conditions include all the drivers that are driving you crazy in the context of oil and gas pricing, and that can be categorized as developed or undeveloped. So the commercial recovery is under current economic conditions with current operating methods and current government regulations. One significant note on this bill on slide 8 is that after opting to use ADA financing for a project, the developer or the project may no longer use the exploration development tax credit, the production tax credit, or the production tax credit for exploration. However, please note that projects with past tax credits are still eligible for ADA financing. That's essentially a grandfathering clause to decisions that have been made in the past. ADA, in using this tool on slide 9, will base interest rates on project risk, on borrower credit worthiness, which speaks to their experience in the kind of project that they're developing, as well as their owner and financing partner commitments, the strength of their financials, and the benefit to the state. Interest rates may well be higher for these oil and gas infrastructure projects due to the inherent risk associated with the oil and gas industry. On slide 10, other components of the bill. This was an opportunity for ADA to standardize the terms that are set in statute across all four of our funds. So the bill proposes that the three existing funds be allowed to loan up to 50% for an eligible project, or a loan guarantee up to $25 million. Previously, those have been 33% and $20 million. So we're just strengthening ADA's ability to participate in a project, but we did keep that limit at 50%, so we're not in a controlling position. Amounts in excess of those limits, as under existing statute, would still require prior legislative approval. With that, Mr. Chairman, I do want to note that Deputy Commissioner of Revenue, Jerry Burnett, is with us. He serves with me on the ADA board as Commissioner Hockbeck's designee. He's in the room also to assist with questions, and Mr. Terrio will now walk us through the sectional.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Each of the members should have in their bill packet sectional analysis. Because we are creating a new fund, as many of you know from working your own legislation, quite often in a multi-page bill, if it's a new section of statute, you've got an entire block that is new. You may be used to amending sections of statute, but most of this bill actually is the creation of the new fund. However, sections 1 through 3 make reference to ADA's net income and how a dividend is paid to the state. Since we are creating a new fund, we then need to make sure that we're tracking the same mechanism that attaches to the other funds, so that net income is determined and a calculation is then done to share a part of the profits back to the state. And so that's what sections 1 through 3 of the bill do. Sections 4 through 9 of the bill add references to the new fund to the existing statutes, detailing the level of interest that's to be levied by the new on loans from the Sustainable Energy and Transmission Fund and also the Arctic Fund. Both of these existing funds were established by the legislature within the past few years. The mechanics of the existing language is not altered as we then add the new fund into those existing sections of statutes. Sections 10 and 11 are proposed to make adjustments to the existing participation limits for the SETS fund and ARTIC fund. Just as the Deputy Commissioner just highlighted, we do see some value if enterprises that want to come to ADA for lending, if the participation levels for ADA to consider are consistent across all the different funds, we think that would be more easily understood by those enterprises that exist to interact with ADA for funding. Section 12 of the bill is where we start the new, brand new section of statute to create the new fund. We have mirrored this mechanism, or we've copied the structure basically that was used by the legislature when it set up the SETS fund and then set up the ARDIC infrastructure fund. So basically, if you are going to provide ADA with a new tool, what we've done is we've just copied the sections of statute that are required to put a new tool into place and have it operate under the basics, same basic constructs as the SETS fund and the ARDIC fund. The language, however, the language is specific to the, that are specific to the new fund on page 8, lines 3 and 4, which mandate that ADA develop a process to verify the existence of proven reserves. That is a requirement that is very specific to this fund, would not apply to those other funds, so that is on page 8. In addition, the language on page 8, lines 15 through 22, require a project developer to choose between securing infrastructure financing from this new fund or applying for oil and gas development credits. The developer is free to choose one or the other, but would not be able to take advantage of both means of state assistance once financing is secured from the new fund. And as the Deputy Commissioner indicated, if they had taken advantage of tax credits, exploring the reserve, proving up the reserve, they're still able to take advantage of those. But at the point that they want to lock in this funding, they would basically be saying from that point forward, they would not apply for continued credits from the point at which they lock in the long-term financing. That is a policy call for you to consider, whether you want to recast that that restriction in a different way. Page 8, lines 11 through 14 contain the program limits above which the legislature approval must be secured prior to participation. The limits that are established here allow for project financing up to one half of the development and a cap on a loan guarantee from the fund at no more than $25 million. Again, those are limits that we have suggested for this fund, and in sections 10 and 11, we're suggesting that these SETS and ARDIC limits be adjusted up to match that. And then section 13 of the bill proposes a new statutory definition for oil and gas development, including a link to a proven reserve in a definition for proven reserve itself. So that's the extent of the sectional analysis. So I'd like to turn it back over to Mr. Parody to finish up the PowerPoint presentation.
Mr. Chairman, turning to slide 12, members of the committee, and you've seen this before, but I just wanted to reestablish it in your memory. The slide 12 is a description of ADA's due diligence process. And Mr. Springsteen, our executive director, is fierce in his dedication to the foundation of this process. It includes our technical due diligence process, where we set out our procedures, our financial due diligence, where we review creditworthiness and the financing partner commitments and analyze the economics, including stress testing the project. We look at the benefits to the state. We manage that process with our internal staff along with hired consultants and specialists. And one of the keys to note here is that the final decision rests with the board. When you turn to slide 13, this is a busy slide, but essentially it's ADA's decision-making process. Phase one is the project suitability assessment. Phase two is the feasibility analysis. We dig into, is there a complete business plan, a financial plan, local community support. Phase three is the deal structuring and due diligence, where we test the business case, its technical assets, its management, and its financial approach, look at equity, security, etc. And then phase four is finalization and close. I want to note that Ada's staff is fiercely devoted to this process, and if you look at our history, we have been successful in managing project risks and securing our assets even when we've hit turbulence. Page 14, slide 14 is just financing repayment. We finance at market-based rates to reflect individual project risk. Loans are repaid with interest. That's where we earn revenue. We share that revenue back to the state in our dividend, and we retain some earnings to fund future projects. The bottom of that page, slide 14, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. That's the simplified view. The legislature, we're asking you to establish the Oil and Gas Infrastructure Development Fund. We would finance projects. They would return revenue to ADA, and we would pay dividends to the state. Slide 15 is actually my single favorite slide from 2 years on the board, and it is a snapshot of where ADA's sweet spot is. If you look at the cost of capital, which is the vertical axis on the left, going risk and cost of capital from low to high, and then the project stage across the bottom, from concept through development, construction, and operation, we are not in the high-risk seed capital business. We're not in venture finance. We're not in private equity. We come in that sweet spot in the center where the operating experience, the capital contribution, you've got final design with plans and specifications, completed permits, signed purchase agreements, signed sales agreements, and we help move that project forward into construction and into long-term financing. So in summary, on slide 16, this bill adds to ADA's toolkit and gives us a specific program to finance oil and gas infrastructure, which is a critical need in the state for our small and mid-sized developers in this pricing environment. Eligible oil and gas infrastructure must have proven reserves in order to be eligible, must go through ADA's established due diligence review, and the finance terms for that project will be market-based. Slide 17 addresses implementation costs. Essentially, we will absorb those within our programs. Implementing the program will require some minor modification of regulations, which we can do in-house. We'll absorb the program implementation costs, the management costs, and the modified fiscal note that was submitted is to acknowledge the potential for fund capitalization pending the legislature's decision to do so. With that, I'd be glad to stand for questions and perhaps also offer Mr. Springsteen any chance as the leader of our organization to comment before I hand it back to Mr. Terrio. John, do you have anything you want to add, Mr. Chairman?
Anybody have questions? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In your slide presentation, you had that 14% of ADA's investment currently is oil and gas. Is the intention to roll that 14% into this fund, or is that going to be 14% in addition to the fund?
Mr. Chairman, may I defer that question to Mr. Springsteen? I think I know the answer, but I know he knows the answer.
Yeah. Okay, through the chair, the Representative Seaton, the intent is for anything that is in the revolving fund remains in the revolving fund. And so anything in the Oil and Gas Infrastructure Development Fund will be separate apart and new development.
So following up on that, what percentage of your portfolio would then be looking at oil and gas infrastructure combination? Are you anticipating?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, I say it depends on what the capitalization of the fund will be. If the fund were capitalized with $200 million, then we would add that amount to the existing 14% of deployed funds, which would raise it up to, call it a third. But again, it would be in a separate program and fund, And that's what in discussions with the board we were looking for, is to have a $2 separate and apart from our relatively more conservative revolving fund to support oil and gas infrastructure development.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anyone else? Representative Todd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just looking on slide 14 and just the loans repaid with interest that, you know, that Ada will earn, earn revenue and the comes back to the state in the form of the dividend. And I'm just trying to remember if there's a, you know, sort of like how the permanent fund is managed where they try to have a 7% return on investment. Does Ada have a standard return on investment for accepted projects?
Mr. Chairman, if I may refer that to Mr. Springsteen.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Commissioner Perry.
No, you go.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Representative Todd. So, given that our core mission revolves around providing financing to support jobs creation and retention and further economic development in the state, we find ourselves with a number of objectives that we have to make work together. Over the long term, we have had a rate of return of roughly 5% when we take a look at the initial $380 million of capitalization, and then growing the assets within ADA, and then returning $380 million of dividends to the state over that time. We're balancing between representing the interests of our 735,000 shareholders and making sure that they're treated fairly and, receive a return that's built into growing its assets and its ability to do more in the state, providing a dividend to the state, while simultaneously providing support to Alaska businesses and project development in the state.
Anyone else? Representative Heron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe a small question on the sectional. Mr. Terrio, page 8, line 24, there's a reference to not more than 30 years. Could you explain that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, to the representative's question. The 30 years, I believe, was selected feeling that the infrastructure that would be loaned for would have a 30-year life. You didn't want to loan money out for a period of time that was beyond the expected life of the asset.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On in the bill, page 8, line 11 through 13, this says you're going to provide that it constitutes more than half the capital cost of an oil infrastructure development. So if I read that right, we could loan $25 million, and so the project would only be we would only be in projects that are under $50 million?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
Through the chair, Representative, I believe the key word there on line 12 is or. So you're limited to $25 million or to 50%. Mr. Springsteen?
That's my interpretation as well.
Am I wrong that that's $50 million is the most that a project, it would be a $50 million project would be all we could loan money, think, or under? A loan guarantee. I mean, I know there's a difference between a guarantee and a loan, but is there a maximum we can loan? We will own more than half the project, so we will have financing. We will have. I'm assuming that's so that we'll have a better leverage position in terms of the equity in the project.
Mr. Chairman, I think if the representative looks up on line 8. You see, unless the authority has obtained legislative approval. Gotcha. So those are the limits that ADA itself can go up to. If there's a project that exceeds those limits, we just have to come back and get specific legislative approval.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to also say what Mr. Terrio said about unless they have authority from the legislature, they can't exceed those limits. It's been a while since I've looked at this, but I vaguely remember having some concerns about Attorney General approval, and we talked about, I think, Fred, between you and I and Gene, we talked about the other funds and how they're currently set up, and is this matching language, and I haven't had a chance today to go back and look, but I still have some of those same concerns, and maybe you could address those.
Mr. Chairman, to the representative's question, maybe this is a good time to segue to a document that you should have in your packet. Over the top, it's proposed ways to address concerns that were expressed. We certainly appreciated the opportunity in the regular session to initially brief the committee. We went around and talked to a number of you individually and heard your concerns and worked on potential ways of addressing those concerns, and that's what this document does. So if I could just work through these, we will get to the specific one that the speaker mentioned.
Mr. Chairman, just briefly before we pivot to that, on that question that Representative Johnson had, I just want to make sure I understand this, going back to page 8, lines 11 through 14. So providing financing that constitutes more than one half of the capital or guaranteeing a loan for the amount of guarantee can exceed the $25 million. But I think the way I heard what you were asking, you were linking those two as if, half would mean that was $50 million. But one is project financing and one is the loan guarantee. And so I just want to understand, on a loan guarantee for $25 million, that could be a much more substantial loan than a $50 million loan. Is that true? If you're just, it's the part that, for the loan guarantee rather than the project financing?
Yeah, I think it would be best if we go to Mr. Springsteen.
Okay. I think that's what you were asking.
Anyone else?
Is he?
Proceed.
John, are you still online?
Yes, I'm still online.
Okay, and the question was...
I'm having a little difficulty hearing, still.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Chairman, if I might. Looking back at page 8, lines 11 through 14, when Representative Johnson had a question, what I heard him asking was, on the first, factor there on line 11, the limitation is you can't provide financing that constitutes more than one half of the capital, or in number 2, guarantee a loan if the amount of the guarantee exceeds $25 million. And I think what he was asking was, does that mean then the maximum amount would be $50 million because, right, one half, but since that's a or, those two aren't related in that same way, but if you're guaranteeing a loan with a $25 million amount, that could be a loan that exceeds $50 million because the guarantee is not, represents some portion of it. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe the chair be ready to depart. Yes, that's correct. The maximum amount that could be for that for a guarantee. So there could be a loan by a third party that could exceed that amount. A third party could provide a loan of $100 million, but the maximum amount that the guarantee that it will provide would be $25 million. And then on the separate question of a loan or other forms of investment from either to a developer, that limit is a 50% limit, so that's separate and apart from the guarantee.
Thank you.
Representative Sheehan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess I'm trying to figure that out, because if the project financing can be 50% of $400 million, that's a $200 million loan that we're authorizing with the existing language here, if Ada wanted to do that, because that would be 50% of the $400 million cost. And so I don't see where the legislative approval comes in the language that we have. So if the intent is that an individual loan is limited other than by the 50% without legislative approval, I think we need to change the language somewhat.
Okay, and through the chair, Representative Stephen, I think part of what we were trying to address was the scale of so many of these developments, but also to gauge the appetite of the legislature for what type of participation Ada should have. The scale of many of these developments can be in the hundreds of millions of dollars when you look at top side and bottom side, the reservoir plus the infrastructure, and
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Springsteen, please correct me if I misstate this, but my understanding is the difference between those lines, your financing might include bonding tools or other tools, where line 2, line 13, item 2 is where you're guaranteeing a loan.
And Mr. Chairman, if I could just further clarification, that mechanism is the same as what the legislature established for SETS and the Arctic Fund. The only thing is the percentages up to the 50% is different, and the $25 million is suggested here. The SETS and Arctic Fund were originally listed at $20 million for the loan guarantee. So the mechanism is the same. The dollar amounts are different. And participation amounts.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. But I guess what I'm trying to figure out is we're talking about legislative approval, but there is no cutoff or there is no legislative approval because as long as it's under 50% of the project financing, you're authorized to do $200 million or whatever is in the fund as long as it's only limited to 50% of the project. And I don't think that that's what was meant if you're saying there's some limit before the legislature must approve something, because the way we have it written here, the $25 million only applies to a loan guarantee. It doesn't apply to direct financing. And direct financing is only limited by 50% of the $1 billion if you had $500 million in the fund. And
Mr. Chairman and Representative Seaton, that's correct, with the caveat that the limitation, so we can't take 3/4 of a project or 60% or 100, the maximum you can go is 50, and the limitation comes from the strength of your balance sheet and what the bond market will do. If it's a flat out loan where we're loaning our funds, then we're limited to the $25 million. The limitation on financing would stem from the bond evaluation in the market.
Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And perhaps this is a question for Mr. Springsteen on the phone. The alternative to this language would be something, there on line 12 where it would say, cost of the oil and gas infrastructure development not to exceed a certain amount. So it would still, there'd be kind of those two limitations. It'd be 50% of the capital or not to exceed $300 million or some appropriate number, but have you thought that through as to what that appropriate number would be if that was under consideration?
Yeah, well, through the chair to Representative Tarr, our guiding principle is prudent investor rule, and we look for diversifying our investments. So to have concentration in one project, given the tools that are available, it is not the intent. When we take a look at our existing tools and the use of the prudent investor rule and our goal of seeking diversity in our entire portfolio across all Alaska businesses and industries, the similar approach would take place for this program and fund that's instituted, where we would want to diversify across a number of projects with whatever tools we are provided. And I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Just a quick follow-up. It does. Thank you very much. And I guess just a thought, though. Imagine the circumstance, we're in a low-price environment. There's not a lot of activity. So we're maybe more interested or open or desperate, if you will, for someone who might want to start up a large project. Could that be influential if you didn't see a lot of activity, even though it would kind of go against what you were just suggesting with you want to have diversity in your portfolio and the prudent investor rule? But could there be a circumstance where, because of limited activity or low price environment like we find ourselves in, it might skew that or skew the thinking on that? Excuse me.
Through the chair, Representative Tarr, you know, when we take a look at any of these opportunities to invest, we go in first with the idea that we are looking to protect the interests of our 735,000 shareholders. So when we are making a loan or making another form of investment, that when we have protections and off-ramps that secures our investment and repays our Alaska shareholder with interest and is returned in the form of dividend to the state.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I want to make sure that the speaker's question gets answered, and then I have one of my own, but I just wanted to make sure that...
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Chairman, if it's your preference, I could go through the suggested changes, and
sure.
That specific issue is addressed in here. So if we could go at this time to this document, I'll just walk you through the different concerns, again, that we heard at the initial hearing on the bill and in individual meetings with members of the committee in their offices. So concern number one was a concern expressed by Representative Hawker that in the bill it made a reference to a reserve. And because we're talking about potentially evaluating the oil and gas reserves, there was some confusion or potential for confusion between whether on page 7, line 17, we were talking about financial reserves or oil and gas reserves. And so we determined that that could easily be clarified by just adding the word financial in that section to make that clarity and avoid any confusion. Concern number two came up with regard to whether the ADA financing may leave the authority in the state responsible for dismantlement, removal, and remediation of infrastructure. That was a concern that was brought up by Representative Seaton, and we have determined that we could clarify that or put some protection in the bill suggested on page 8, line 25, and the suggested language to add there is listed. So that could be an amendment that could be offered or rolled into a CS. ADA does not intend to take on that responsibility and appreciates the opportunity to clarify that.
Representative here, and
on concern number two, I appreciate the proposed language, but have you talked to DNR and law and maybe AOGC about this language? Is it clear who is responsible for dismantlement and removal and remediation? And if so, where are those funds?
Mr. Chairman, we work with the Department of Law on this language. I think the existing system that assigns responsibility for that would exist. We're just clarifying that as ADA comes in, we're not suggesting to take on any of that responsibility. So we're not proposing anything that disrupts the existing system that makes those determinations.
So, Mr. Chairman, so in statute, there is a system where it specifically says that there is going to be someone responsible and there is a mechanism to pay for it.
Mr. Chairman, I believe so in our oil and gas leasing regulations, but that is something we can certainly check with DNR and get a specific answer to that question.
So I guess, Mr. Chairman, should there be a reference within the bill so that it's clear when we're debating this along the way that we know that? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How do you handle that in a bankruptcy situation where the company has defaulted and we're half owners, basically? How would we be able to dodge that? I mean, I don't think that we would be able to.
Mr. Chair.
And through Chair Representative Johnson, as in prior activity that ADA is engaged in and future activity that ADA will engage in, when we look at a project, we look at three major links to the stool. One is the project cash flow. And the ability to recover, any types of investments that ADA had made. Another is the level of collateralization, with a collateral that's put up, you have to, a market value and you know, projected future potential sale and an orderly sale and making sure that there's coverage there. And then to the extent we need additional coverage, we also would look to any type of guarantee that we want from different parties. So then you know, prior activity we've engaged in, we make sure that we have multiple forms of coverage.
So, Mr. Chairman, I think the suggested language to be added is basically giving instruction to ADA to get proper indemnification against that that potential responsibility before the lending could take place. Concern number three was another one that was broached by Representative Hawker with regards to proving reserves and the definition of commercially recoverable. We did work with the representative and his staff to come up with suggested language, which appears on the second page of this document. I would like to steer your attention to the last three lines here, where as ADA loans money out or participates in this kind of lending, we would be secured in the assets themselves, but another line of security for the lending would also be the reserves that are being proven up or that are being proposed to be produced. How you evaluate those, and we all know with the swing in the commodity prices, the values can swing pretty tremendously. And so what we've done is come up with language here that looks at the average price of the oil and gas actually paid during the preceding 12-month period. So you're looking at price from the previous 12 months and comparing it to what the expectation of the price is going forward, and you're taking the lesser of those two. So we've tried to come up with a conservative way of evaluating those reserves if they are to be considered part of the collateral at all. And so working with the representative staff, I think we had come up with something that that was acceptable to them.
Follow up?
Maybe a new question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thought earlier you said we were only looking at ground up as part of the finance. So we could end up owning our own reserves if it's part of the collateral?
Through the chair of the representative, just in terms of securing any type of investment, we wouldn't want to, not have available any form of collateral that, could secure our investment. So we could be in a situation where we would have an asset that is under our ownership, and then we would look towards an orderly sale to another party for future development of our asset, whether it be one part of the collateral, and we wouldn't want to not have access to these different forms of collateral.
But Mr. Chairman, the representative is right that this lending is only for surface infrastructure. It's not for any of the investment down the hole, but it is a realization that the potential hydrocarbons to be produced from that surface infrastructure is a potential asset that ADA could have secured part of the loan or be pledged, and would not want to limit its ability to use that to secure the state's position.
Representative Johnson?
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm looking at a worst-case scenario where there's a default. And so as part of our collateral, that would come back to us because they'd be in violation of their leases. So we're using our own resource as collateral for a loan that we're going to end up getting back anyway. So I can't see using the resource or the oil or the gas, whatever's there, as collateral. I mean, we're going to end up owning that anyway in a bankruptcy because of the default of the lease. So I don't see where that has a lot of value to us in terms of collateral. We get to resell it anyway.
Mr. Chairman, I think the thing is whether it defaults back to the state, and you're right, DNR could resell that asset, and that would be money that would come into the general fund. ADA is looking to make sure to our financial advisors that we're securing the assets of ADA, making sure that, that ADA, the economic enterprise of ADA, is secure.
So, Mr. Chairman,
So
ADA is going to own oil and gas reserves in a default situation.
And as Mr. Springsteen indicated, then we'd look to sell those.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, my understanding, though, is that that's existing authority within our present structure, again, only in a collateral sense. And as to the question of the default of the lease during bankruptcy, I think we need to clarify that the holder of that lease, that doesn't automatically default back to DNR, and I'm asking Mr. Springsteen to clarify that for us.
Yeah, through the chair, Commissioner, that's correct. And we are looking, the picture you painted is an extreme situation. You know, in terms of everything absolutely going to pot. Now, one of the obligations of ADA is to be able to provide patient capital in some instances in order to support the development of the state. And, but again, in acting in the interest of our 35,000 shareholders, when collateral is made available to help secure any kind of investment that's made, it's I don't believe the type of thing that we should refuse. We've also taken as collateral in certain circumstances, reserves that don't exist within the state. And that's simply because we look to over collateralize in the interest of our shareholders.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I think that I'm beyond my level of expertise here, but when we're getting into a bankruptcy situation, if there's been a well drill that's capable of commercial production, which is really just anything, then that lease doesn't expire, and so that would be a collateral that would go to the secured creditors in a bankruptcy situation. So I'm not sure that the state would get back automatically the leases. The leases would fall as an asset through the bankruptcy court. And so, you know, I think it would be prudent for us to have, as an investor, a secured asset there so it doesn't fall to some investment company someplace else. But I'm beyond my level of expertise, and I'd like to see ADA come back with some legal analysis of bankruptcy situations and what happens to leases, especially if they have been at least had one well drilled on them and then are, I believe, held in perpetuity at that point in time as an asset. So I appreciate that. I'd like to ask one other question here on this. I'm reading this first line of this second page where it says that the in providing financing, the authority shall require a loan-to-value ratio of 75% or greater if the proven reserves constitute a portion of the value. And if we're talking about 75% or greater, we're over the 50% valuation of the project, so I'm not sure if it's 75% or greater or 75% or less, but I'd like a clarification of the restriction of 50% valuation to the loan project, and here talking about 75%.
And through the chair of the representative. In terms of the loan, if there were a loan made, and then it's 50% with a partner, but in terms of securing any type of investment, the security for that investment would have to, meet that 75% criteria. So it again goes to over collateralizing an investment. So if there were it would be $100 million of assets of value to secure a $75 million investment for advancing. at a minimum.
Go ahead. Mr. Chairman, that's over 50% of the valuation, if we're talking about 75%. So, I mean, I may just be confused with the way the language is here, but if we're saying that the authority shall require a loan value ratio of 75%, I mean, it seems like we're talking about beyond the 50%.
Mr. Chairman, I think perhaps the clarification is that the 50% is the level of investment in the specific project, the infrastructure, surface infrastructure that we're talking about. This language actually talks about what collateral does ADA get. And an enterprise, a business could pledge assets, other assets that they have, office buildings that they have, or something else as collateral. This talks about the amount of collateral that can be things outside of the infrastructure that's being financed itself. And so we're looking to over-collateralize the loan. It would just be like, I guess, myself getting a housing loan. The house itself is pledged as an asset, but the bank may require me to pledge another piece of property as additional collateral against the loan.
Mr. Chairman, if I could add for that, I do think that we're mixing apples and oranges. The 50% is the participation rate. The 75% is the collateralization rate. They're not related to each other.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just looking at where this would be placed in the bill, I guess it's under Part C, which would be limitations not to exceed 30 years, and then this would be the collateral portion of it. But the way this is written right now, it reads to me like it would have to be to a company that was actually in. I'm trying to figure out whether they'd have to be in production or just have proven reserves, because it says, and the reduced quantity should be valued based on the average price oil and gas actually paid during the preceding 12-month period. But that would just, is that just the average price as we use it, not relative to economic activity of the company seeking the loan?
Okay. It's just the prevailing prices. This really speaks to if, in fact, you're going to use the reserves that will be produced by this infrastructure as any component of the collateral, how you're going to value those. And what we tried to do is come up with something that Representative Hawker and his staff felt was adequate and conservative on the conservative side.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess I'm trying to figure out on this, the 10% will be reduced by 10%. We're talking about the value of the oil, but we're not talking about the economics of the extraction. So we could have a project that is needing financing and is fairly expensive, and yet if we're talking about the average price of TAPS oil or ANS West Coast, and we have a highly expensive project, we may be way overvaluing, if we're just talking about the ANS West Coast price of oil and not the economics of the project. I guess I'm just I'd like a little further explanation on that. Maybe you can give us a little white paper or something on that.
Certainly, and I can clarify that on the line that says, in calculating the value of the proven reserve, the cost of actually producing, I think, would be subtracted from that, so that you would take into the account the economics of producing from that potential field.
Through the chair of the representative, in any circumstance, through our due diligence process, we're examining the economics of the development in addition to tax fluctuations.
And Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that, and I appreciate this discussion, but I would like that added in the language so that it's clear that we are talking not just about ANS West Coast prices, we're talking about the economics of the project as well, because that could be significantly different than the just a generalized pricing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
That's certainly.
Okay, and Mr. Chairman, if I could go to the next concern. It was one that the speaker had actually brought up. Previously, when the SETS fund was set up, there was a concern that somehow it would become a runaway mechanism that could come into play to finance a large diameter pipeline across the state to deliver oil or gas for export. And we are certainly, that's not the intent here. And so we could insert similar language that makes it clear that we're financing infrastructure to get oil and gas into production. We would want that to be delivered. Certainly, it's something that's delivering into the NSTAR system. You know, we don't want to preclude investment there. And so working with the speaker staff, we came up with the suggested language there that would be added to page 8, line 30. Concern number 5 dealt with the transfer of assets. The language does talk about ADA having the latitude to transfer assets. We believe that the existing latitude in the suggested language is appropriate. It mirrors that is granted for the SETS fund and the Arctic fund. And we would suggest that this fund should operate in the same manner. Concern?
Representative Hannon.
Yes, Mr. Terrio. Concern number 5 is unusual because the other concerns you've come up with a potential solution. In this one, concern number 5 is it's unusual because the other concerns you've offered up solutions, proposed solutions. This one, you want to stick with the language. At least this legislator is very concerned that this provision may allow the authority to transfer funds that may be negative to the other two funds. So I would suggest that maybe you come up with a solution rather than sticking with your present position.
Mr. Chairman, I think perhaps Mr. Springsteen can weigh in. As was indicated, the existing money in the revolving loan fund, the $110 million, there's no suggestion that that would be transferred to capitalize this fund. However, within each fund, you need to have the latitude if you are giving a loan guarantee or you've done financing with bonding, you might have to set up a sub-account and be able to transfer assets into that sub-account to give the assurity that as funds come back, that bonds are paid back. And so we need the flexibility to do that type of thing. And then I turn to Mr. Springsteen as far as whether there would be any anticipation that there would be transfer between the funds. John, are you still online?
I apologize. I'm having a little bit of difficulty hearing Mr. Terrio. If maybe you could speak a little more directly into the microphone. But I missed the little point you just got.
The concern is that the language, when we spoke about concern number 5, which was the language that says that ADA has the ability to transfer funds, that we mirrored the mechanism established in the SETS fund and the Arctic fund, and the suggestion is that there's not a problem here that needs to be fixed, and in fact we do need to maintain some flexibility to set up sub accounts within the fund to assure lenders, bondholders that they get repaid, and that there really is no intent on ADA's part to transfer money from this fund into the revolving loan fund or from the revolving loan fund into this fund. And just wondering if you could speak to that.
Okay, yeah, and certainly, so, you know, as exists in the other ADA funds, the SETS fund, the Arctic Infrastructure Fund, there is the ability to move funds in between, inter fund. So this would mirror that, same type of language. I can understand the concern that the legislature desire to limit that maintain any of the low investment structure development fund funds solely within the fund, we'll work towards a solution for that.
Representative
Harris. Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Follow-up. Is the other three funds, me personally, as this individual legislature, I guess I can support the transfer of monies from those three funds. But when it comes to oil and gas infrastructure, my fear is that this fund potentially could become the big boy on the block, and the other three would be on the back bench. So that's what I'm concerned about. So, Mr. Springsteen, that is that, like the other concerns, you've come up with proposed solutions. I would ask that for concern number five, that you come up with a proposed solution rather than sticking to keeping the language as proposed in the bill.
Okay,
and Mr. Chairman, moving on to number six, this is the one that the speaker specifically asked about. In the bill, it spoke about contracting for outside services, and when it came to hiring outside legal counsel, it spoke specifically about getting the approval of the Attorney General. The speaker was right when he pointed that out to Mr. Perdy and I in a meeting in his office. I initially had thought that we had copied the same language from the SETS fund and the Arctic fund, but it was slightly different, and our proposal here is to go back to and pick up the same language that is in the SETS fund and the Arctic fund, so that we're mirroring the same mechanism the legislature put into those two funds.
Representative, Mr. Speaker.
I think that the language works. My concern is, why put one more step in there where we have the Attorney General only approving oil and gas issues for ADA? I think the ADA board has the expertise and the ability to, if they need counsel, to go out and get counsel. I think they've proven it in the past, so why put that extra step in there on oil and gas issues? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Mr. Chairman, we agree and would default back to that, that the language used in the other two funds. And the final one is a concern. This one also, there's no real suggested fix. There were some questions about whether it is appropriate to adjust the participation limits for the SETS fund and the Arctic fund, so they mirror the suggested limits for this new oil and gas fund. That's a separate policy call of yours. We believe, again, for the enterprises that want to come and seek support from ADA, that it would be easier for them to understand if those limits are the same across the different financial tools. But that's, again, a policy call of yours, whether you believe there's value in that.
Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if you could just remind us, I think it makes sense in the context of the new fund because they're more expensive projects potentially, but what the thinking was in making the adjustments on the other two funds?
Again, just so they're consistent, the other funds are up to 30, one-third, mm-hmm. and $20 million. Mm-hmm. And so on the loan guarantee, it would be an adjustment of $5 million, again, before we would have to come and get legislative approval, mm-hmm. Or taking the 33% basically up to 50%.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Chairman, if I might follow up.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And has the more limited, barriers, boundaries there, has that limited ADA's ability to invest in any projects under those other two funds up until now?
Really, the other two funds have not been capitalized, so there's not been activity.
Right. Okay.
Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For either individual, through the chair, my sense of House Book 246 from its inception, and I first heard about it, I suppose, just before Christmas, that there'd be something like this, and then certainly in January, was that it was designed to soften the fact that, that the administration doesn't think the tax credit portfolio can be sustained. And so my question is, given that the legislature is, the policy call on that is as unclear as anything I've ever seen, is this bill something the administration wants to advance if there's not reform of the credit system?
Mr. Chairman, I'll take the first cut at that. I think the answer to that, I'll leave the coming decision on oil and gas tax credits to the appropriate body, but just note that this bill stands alone. This bill is adding a tool into ADA's toolkit to support the small and medium-sized sectors of Alaska's oil and gas industry, and is irrespective of the tax credit issue.
And Mr. Chairman, I flip back to the pie chart here that shows the investment out of the Economic Activity Fund, and where we're up to that 14%. So really, this bill was initiated by the concern of the board that we have or will soon approach the limit where investing in oil and gas infrastructure is no longer able to do it and keep a blended portfolio in this economic development portfolio. So that really was the direction of the board.
Thank you.
Representative Sheehan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When we were first talking about projects that had credit certificates issued and you still get loans, is there any anticipation that those credit certificates would provide a basis for a loan as far as infrastructure and project, the cost of a project? I mean, we've got this interaction between something that's gone before and a new program here. You've said that the proposal currently is that if you received credits, those are still there. Are those, would ADA use those as a financing mechanism or a financing base, collateral base for a loan from ADA?
And Mr. Chairman, I think
through the chair, the representative Seidman, in the past, ADA has used tax credit as collateral for ADA loans. There was some conversation around double dipping, and I believe this language was put in to resolve some of the thoughts around double dipping into state programs. We do have written to our statute that ADA will have a preference to make a loan to projects that do not have other forms of state support. So I believe that double signs is in that spirit, but I also understand that there could be some modifications to make it more effective for developers, perhaps the reservoir development tax credits versus outside ADA program. So,
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm not quite hearing the answer, and I'm not trying to put myself on one side of that answer or another, but I think it's an answer we probably should have, is whether if people participated in and have tax credits that aren't the basis of the loan amount that ADA is going for, if those tax credits can be used for the collateral for financing. And I think that that's just something that we should determine as this goes forward.
Thank you.
And then through the chair, the representative, under ADA's revolving fund program, can take tax credit as collateral, but under this program, ADA would not be able to.
Okay, thank you. That's the clarity I wanted to find out.
And finally, Mr. Chairman, if we could just touch on the fiscal note. There is a fiscal note, dated February 5th in your packet. And on the second page, it does make reference to the potential of the loan fund being capitalized. that would be tied to passage of a separate piece of legislation, and it is up to policymakers to make the determination of whether that does pass. Ada Bill believes that there is value to the creation of the loan fund, even if it's not capitalized. Certainly, the more money that you make available, it becomes a more useful tool. But if, in fact, the mechanism is set up, it would allow Ada to do some conduit financing, utilizing the direction that's given for this fund. And then again, if associated with a passage of other legislation, dollars are put in to capitalize the fund, it just becomes a more valuable tool. But that's a separate policy call for yourselves.
Anyone else? Thank you very much for the presentation.
Mr. Chairman?
Member General Seed.
Before we go further, I just wanted to back up to page 8, lines 11 through 13. So was Ada going to come back to us with a proposal for a dollar limit on line 12 for no more than half of the capital cost of the infrastructure development, and that's above ground development, but a limit on that before it requires additional legislative approval?
Mr. Chairman, we could do so. As a board member, I would note that language is the existing language out of our other funds, and our management to that limit stems from our ability to bond. And so I believe that the necessary conservative fiscal constraints are in place and have been adhered to by the board. You could pick a number, maybe it's a half a billion dollars or something, to say, if something scales to that size, you want to see it first. But our ability to finance in those levels is limited by our balance sheet and the bond market's assessment of our balance sheet. Mr. Springsteen might be able to elaborate in greater detail.
Yeah, and through the chair of the representative, again, we go back to the scale of these types of investments and being able to leverage into the state the different types of tools and attracting outside capital. And I am concerned about them not being able to provide access to the capital that's sufficient to work alongside some of these development projects.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess I'm trying to figure out what the providing financing means, if that's direct Ada money. I mean, I presume that's what that meant, not bringing other partners, financial partners, into a financing package. But can you explain that to me? Let's say we back up to, like, the Endeavor with Buccaneer, where I think we had $25 million in that, but the whole package, I think, had other partners in that. So what is the finance, providing financing? Is that strictly Ada oil and gas money?
To the chair, Representative Seaton, I guess the model I would offer is we take a look at the Red Dog Mine Road and Port System that supports the Red Dog Mine. For a portion of the capital for that infrastructure, we did access the bond markets just for the some money that would need to invest it to build out the road and support the conveyor and warehouse system that is in northwest Alaska. And so we would request to continue to have access to those types of bond tools to support infrastructure development in the state, especially when there are some limitations on the state's own capital for the type of infrastructure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm trying to find out, so provide financing that constitutes more than one half of the capital cost for a development. So providing capital under this bill, is that limited to the money from the fund, or is that the whole package that ADA might put together with external financiers, whether they're foreign financiers or, you know, hedge funds or whatever, or our bonding? If we are exercising bonding in addition to the capital from here, are we saying that we're limited to 50% of the project funding comes directly from the oil and gas fund, but that we could go out and utilize bonding and take the other 50% of the funding and be 100% supplier of the capitalization for a project? I mean, I think that's beyond where fiduciarily you would be, but I'm trying to figure out the structure that we have in the statute and what that allows.
There will be a 50% participation limit. So for any tool that ADA brings to bear for the project, so it will be a combination of an investment, whether it's a loan or some other type of direct investment, in addition to any bonding that will be done. So for example, if we had a project where we would the 50% participation for a $400 million project would be $200 million facilitated by ADA, that 50% limit. And that $200 million potentially consists of $30 million of ADA capital plus $170 million in bonding. That's just an example, and each type of deal investment has its own terms and conditions and structure.
Yes. Representative Tillis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just in thinking this through, the slide we have up, slide four, that shows the projects and loans through 1031-15, when we think about the oil and gas projects, if you compare them to high risk, low risk, even though you use all these steps along the way before involving yourselves in a project, but relative to manufacturing, healthcare, restaurant, those other opportunities, I would think these would be riskier investments. I mean, would that be a reason to be concerned relative to the other investments?
Yeah, the representative, again, when you look at those three parts of the cash flow coverage, the collateral, and guarantees that we need to have in place in order to protect our 735,000 shareholders, there could be a slightly higher risk profile, but again, we were looking to get back the original investment plus interest for our shareholders. Given the certain scale, the part of the discussion with the board was to have the separate tool, the separate program and fund, so the revolving fund can continue to be a general supporter of all of the businesses and industries. But then this program and fund will be a little more pointed towards the single objective of supporting all the gas industry in Alaska.
And Mr. Chairman, and as a result, the establishment of this interest rate that would go with this fund, you would expect that to be a little bit higher because it is a little bit higher risk.
Okay. Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, maybe Fred or Gene, I'm trying to go back to where Representative Seaton was, and I don't want to get any deeper into the weeds, but hasn't the legislature limited the bonding actual bonding capacity of ADA? Isn't there a dollar out there, $400 million or something like that?
Mr. Springsteen?
Certain types of bonding, we need to request bonding cap allocation for the project. So that would be a separate discussion along the path. And if it were a revenue bond deal versus a conduit bond that's solely reliant on the project's cash flow, there's different treatment that I'd have to engage bond counsel to get you a better answer.
Okay.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, just follow up. I know that you have many instruments out there and many different bonding capacities that you can do. I just, for some reason, I thought that the legislature at one time here, I thought just recently, had set some type of a limit on total bonding capacity, and that may mean, you know, that may mean all of the instruments or all the bonding pieces that you have, but I don't know if you're unlimited where you can go out there and just bond for anything you want to. And here's one of our favorites. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Chairman.
To the Chair, Representative Chenault, I believe asked the question about total bonding authority, and as I recall, there was legislation before the House this year which referenced the $400 million annual cap on bonding authority. It's not a total cap on bonding authority. It's an annual cap of $400 million.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Josephson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for Mr. Springsteen. You said something that gave me a little pause. You said, and it may have just been a hypothetical, but you said when Representative Seaton asked about a financing package under line 11, that subsection 1, you mentioned maybe $170 million would be financed through third parties, and maybe we would put up $30 million. And then I looked at subsection 2, which caps the guarantee of a loan at $25 million, and those things seem sort of counterintuitive. It seems like it's riskier to actually provide $30 million than to guarantee a loan of $25 million. Can you clarify that?
When we have direct investments of some form into a project, again, we look to the cash flow, the collateral, and the guarantee. But in that, with the $25 million guarantee circumstance, it would be the guarantor for another investor. So it's a different risk profile to potentially be higher risk. And that's why the request was to have the full window on the guarantee to $25 million.
All right.
Representative Sheet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess I wanted to go back to page 7, line 17, where we were talking about adding financial there for reserves. I understand we were talking a little bit about the purpose of the reserves. I understand the financial reserves for bonding or for loan guarantees. Can you let me know what purpose the reserves are there for actual loans? Is that for defaulting on loans, or what other than for guaranteeing loans or bonds would you establish reserves for?
So in the example I think you mentioned, the establishment of reserves would be to, if you issue a bond, that's to make sure the bondholders may hold. And by establishing a reserve, we could, lift it at a lower interest rate for the project.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, we're running into our allotted time before the session. And so we're going to come back on Monday, we'll have Ada and the Department of Law before us on Monday, and they will better answer us, I think, have better answers, anticipating what we've been saying here, hopefully by Monday. But are there any other questions for the committee or comments for the committee?
Just some housekeeping.
You bet. For the committee, not to them.
Right, for the committee. I thought I saw something calendared for Saturday and Sunday. Have we vacated those and we're not meeting till Monday? Is that what I'm hearing?
What time?
Are we not meeting? This committee won't meet again till Monday? Is that what the chair
is? We're going to have a meeting tomorrow on the 28th at 10 a.m. We will take public testimony on House Bill 246.
Okay.
And public testimony will be taken at 10 a.m. till 11 a.m.
Gotcha.
And limited to 3 minutes.
Okay.
So that's what we'll be doing tomorrow. And that answer any your concerns?
Yep.
Okay, is there any further business for the committee this afternoon? If not, we are adjourned at 12:30 p.m.